We're up to Perek Yudalit. We're up to the Malbim. We're up to round four. Round four, the good morning, Perek Yudalit Pasuk Dalit. Perek Yudalit Pasuk Dalit. We've got these are amazing psukim describing what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. Melchemes el Gemagog, v'omdu ragav al harbayim hol harazesim. So we've gone already through three mahalchim. Three mahalchim in these psukim, everyone is very, very different. The Perush of Mitzudos Rashi, the Radak, and now let's see the Malbim. Malbim begins on page 847. Mr. Cohen, thank you for this cup of coffee. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehiya bidvaroi.
Amen.
The coffee tastes different when you make it than when I make it. You put in a secret ingredient. A secret ingredient. Okay, Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet, the Amdu Raglav Oz, page 847. The Amdu Raglav Oz Yeh Rash Haaretz, there will be an earthquake. When Mashiach will come, Umitzayer Ki Ilu Ragle Hashem Roitzeloimar Mitzu Bavov Sheze Gede Regel Bor Ruchonim. I guess it means Ruchnius. This goes back to what we learned in the Radak yesterday. The Radak says the word Raglav. The Malbim is agreeing to the perush of the Radak. He's taking that as his choice perush. The word raglov does not mean feet. It means cause. As Yaakov said to Lavan, he says, the passage there was that Vayivorech Hashem Oyscha Liragli. Yaakov said to Lavan, the reason why you were blessed was because of me. Liragli doesn't only mean feet, it means because of me. It's because of your association with me that caused your mazel to soar to the sky. Can they always say this, that a person's mazel, they say this, and it must be a chazak because I hear this all the time, is that a person's mazel is his wife. You have people who have no mazel and they get married, all of a sudden they become celebrities. Why? Because they're associated with a good person, with a good woman. Just being married to the right person can cause a person's mazel to go into the stratosphere, to go all the way up. And it's not even a matter of advice. It's not a matter of behavior. It's just a matter of being associated with a good person. And a good person can cause people, and they say this especially, the mazel of a man is his wife. A woman, without doing anything, just being married to the right person can cause a person to have great success in this world. And in the same way, I guess that's true with regard to a wife, it's true regarding who are your friends, who you hang out with. So a rabbi once told me, you always notice that people always like to gravitate to rich people. They gravitate to them, even though many of them get nothing from them. They are very wealthy people, and in fact, the people that associate have to pay to be with these people. They give them gifts, they give them a nice mishloach manos, when they're honored, they have to come to the dinner and spend money. And these wealthy people, they don't give them anything. The wealthy people, they spend their money, they give millions of dollars to institutions, to hospitals, to yeshivas, but the people that associate with them get nothing from them. They get nothing. And in fact, many times they have to pay money. It costs them money. Why is there this obsession in society to associate with these very wealthy people? And the answer is, you can say what you want to say, but this rabbi told me is that a person has a need or a yearning to associate with successful people. A person who is acknowledged in this world as being a success, because obviously Hashem gave him incredible bracha, he has very good whatever it is, he has good mazel, he has bracha. The average person wants to attach himself to that, not because he has an expectation that he's going to get something, because these very wealthy people, what do you get from them? You get nothing from them. They're not going to give you any money. You're even embarrassed to ask them for a penny. But But somehow the person's neshama has a satisfaction in being associated with successful people. And I guess all part of this concept that when you're connected to a successful people, I'm not a Kabbalah person, I'm not a Segula person, but obviously in the neshama, it has a yearning for success. And part of that ability to achieve is if you're connected to those people who HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows favor to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given a stamp of approval to for whatever reason, and Hashem has made them successful. There's a channel in Shemayim of success that comes down to these individuals. And by you associating with these people, your neshama hopefully feels that you will be successful in your own private life. Not that you expect to get money from these other people. That's dangerous. And this is a natural tendency which people just naturally have. But obviously, the people who are not successful, okay, who are unfortunately dirt poor, many of them are very holy people. A lot more holy. A lot greater, infinitely greater than the rich and famous. You know, remember years ago on television there was a show called Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous? When I was a little kid, used to be this television show. Mr. Willis, you remember that show?
Uh-huh. I was too poor to watch it.
You were too poor to watch it? I almost never watched it. I don't think I ever watched the whole episode. I'm sure you can probably find it on YouTube. Lifestyles of the person had a British accent. The person who was the host, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. So I know someone that always would say this to me 100 times. The people in Flatbush and Borough Park make those celebrities that were featured on the show of Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous like paupers. the way some of the poorest people in Flatbush and Borough Park live, they live a life way beyond their means. Way beyond, they should have featured the people, the average Orthodox Jew in Flatbush and Borough Park who lives way beyond his means in this television show. But the point over here is that there is this concept of associating with successful people, which brings a certain satisfaction and success, and that is exactly what Yaakov said to Lavan. Lavan, these last couple of years, you've been extremely successful, phenomenally successful, and you should know. And Lavan said this himself. Lavan said this himself as well. Lavan. Is that your success is not because you deserve it, it's because of your association with me. And the word that is used to express this idea is liragloi, my feet. It doesn't mean feet. Every word in Hebrew is obviously just an abstraction. We use it to refer to feet, but here it means by because of me, because of your association with me. And that is what it means here in this pasuk according to the Malbim, which is exactly what we said, we're reviewing, we learned yesterday from the Radak, when it says that on that day when Mashiach will come, Yomdu Raglov Bayoy Mahu, it doesn't mean literally Hashem's feet. It doesn't even mean a metaphor that Hashem's feet will come down to rest. What it means is that on that day, Hashem, it will be acknowledged. It will be clear as day to the entire world that everything that happens in this world is because of Hashem. Hashem is the cause of every event that occurs in this world.
V'amdu raglav. So what is this wording?
Nesiba. It's the same exact word as Siba. Let me read the words again. I'm sorry, one more time. Second line. Misubavav. The word misubav means like seviva, to surround. To surround, to be the cause. Okay, to be the Siba. To create the environment for something to happen. Hashem hides himself. He doesn't show himself in his full glory. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the cause. He creates the environment. It creates the situation such that events occur the way they do. Shezeh geder regel. This the geder regel. This the word. What the word regel means. Baruch Hanib, which means in the spiritual world. The Amdu Raglav. Hashem's, we take the word Liragloi, as the Radak said, which means because of me, we expand upon it, we expand the scope of this word with the word v'amdu, to stand firm, raglov, Hashem's, the recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the cause of every world event. Every single thing that happens in this world, it is clear that it's Hashem pulling the strings. It's nothing more than an expression. The word raglov doesn't literally mean feet. Raglov means he is the cause. The amdu, it stands firm. It is clear as day to every observer that every event that is happening in this world is only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who decided it should be. Why did he make that decision? Sometimes we merit to understand, and sometimes we do not. But it will be clear as day, on that moment in time that the Pasuk is describing, that Hashem is the one in control, in charge.
Major decisions or minor decisions?
Everything, every little thing, no difference.
That was the difference.
Right, all the makas, of course, came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When they saw the makas, they recognized the midah connected midah, right?
The Egyptian says God has no control in this world.
Exactly, they felt that they are in control, okay? That's not only then, today as well. The amdu raglov, again, the word, you have to be creative in how you translate the words. Raglov means cause, the force, the cause of why events happen, the reason why events happen. And the amdu is an expansion upon this word, which connotes clarity and revelation, clarity and presence, that it is because of Hashem everything is happening in this world. Let's go further. Yamdu al harazesim shehu b'mizrach Yerushalayim. This will take place in the east side of Yerushalayim. Learn that yes. V'harazesim yibaka be'em tzo'oi bein mitzad mizrach bein mitzad ma'arav v'tzon lai mashatiyah b'kiyah nimshechas mi'mizrach l'ma'arav. The split, the crack will go from Har Bayis all the way to the east. V'yal yidei ze yomush hohor mimukaymoy chetzio l'tzad tzafon v'chetzio l'tzad doroim u'bein shtei chatzoye hohor yishoer gei gedoy l'moid. The mountain will split, creating a massive crater in the center, which will be a valley. V'im ho'inyon hu kipshutoy. Now, the Malm over here is going to say, what exactly does this mean? Does this mean there's going to be a physical hurricane? There's going to be an occurrence where the earth will split, and yezem misached imasho heru lo liyecheskel. If this pasuk is to be taken literally, then this dovetails. This is exactly the same thing what Yecheskel saw. Everyone, all of the Nevi'im, they saw the same thing. Each one described it in their own words. Each one saw or was sensitive to a different dimension, different element of what's going to happen. And Yecheskel said the same thing. Yishalayim shelo asitiyeh ruchoyka mimukoyim hamikdosh mem hei mil. Okay, it says that it will be distant. That Yishalayim shelo asitiyeh ruchoyka mimukoyim hamikdosh mem hei mil, 45 mil. A mil is 3/4 of a mile. Now this is something very interesting, is that the new Yerushalayim, this is a very big topic of discussion, and when the base Hamikdash will be rebuilt, it says in Sefer Yecheskel, the people who live in Yerushalayim will be distanced, will be separated. The new city, the new Yerushalayim, will be built 45 mil away from the base Hamikdash, because the area of the base Hamikdash is going to be only for the Levim. It's going to be only for the Levim. There's going to be a redistribution of the land. And the residents of Yerushalayim will be resettled in a new city called Yerushalayim, 45 mil away. The number 45 always is a spooky number. The number 45 always reappears in many different forms. You know, in the Toichacha, in Parshas Bichul Kosai, there are 45 kilolos, 45 curses. On Tisha B'Av, there are 45 kinois. There's a whole long list. I have a whole long list. You know, I'll tell you. I can tell you in 1 second what all the 45s are. I have this little thing. I write down all the numbers, I'll tell you all the 45s right now.
45 mil would be like 35 miles.
Right.
Outside the whole country of
Israel. Oh, exactly. The whole country from end to end is about 50 miles. The whole Eretz Yisrael from the Mediterranean until the West Bank, till what we have today,
is it that?
5 miles, 50 miles, not 5 miles, 50 miles. From the Mediterranean, until the West Bank, I think is about 50 miles.
It depends when. In Netanya,
what about from south to north, from Gaza to Lebanon? What is it? It's about 100-something miles. It's not so much. It's a teeny little country. I only have one thing over here. How could this be? Everyone wants right. The whole, isn't that amazing? This little teeny thing the whole world is fighting over.
They don't want it. They want us not to have it.
Exactly. You said exactly. I'll tell you all the 45s. All the 45s is first of all, the gematria of Adam. Adam is the gematria of 45. There are 45 kinois. And Nebuchadnezzar, how many years did he rule as king of the world? 45 years. The word ma is also a very important word because the pasuk says ma Hashem Elokecha shol me'imach kim liyire oisai. Chazal darshan al tikrei ma ela mea. 100. So this, the word ma, every time you have the word ma, it's shaking you up. Fear Hashem. Al tikrei ma ela mea, make 100 brachas every single day in order to remind yourself of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, what else is ma? How many kings were there altogether? The total sum of kings, Malchei Yehuda and Malchei Yisrael, the grand total, 45. 45 kings were the grand total. How? Okay, we said the klalus, and it says there are, how many tzaddikim are there in this world? So, halichos olam lo, we know there are 36 tzaddikim, the world stands on. There's another version that says there are 18,000 tzaddikim that are not mistaklim basplakla meira, and memhe tzaddikim 45 are gmorn. There are 45 tzaddikim that see Hashem be asplak Maria Hamira. I'm not sure I'm saying that correctly. Okay, the number 45 is a very spooky number.
Yeah,
that's why when this thing with Meron happened, you know, it spooks people out because there were 45, all the headlines, only 1,000 times, 45, 45. I mean, you know, who's counting? What do you have to go through? What's this all about, the number 45? But it's really spooky because the number 45 is, you know, in the Teichacha. What?
Donald Trump.
He's the 45th king, he's the 45th president. Ooh, that's very interesting. That's very
Mashiach.
Interesting.
Mashiach.
It's not Mashiach. Okay, so add to your list. Add to your list is a significant because it's a pasuk. It's a Yecheskel that the Yerushalayim shall also be 45 mil distant from the Harabais. What's all that about? 45 mil? Okay, yeah, he said that's already today. That's already outside of Eretz Yisrael. Where are we going? Which direction are we going in? It's not what this means is very, very mystical, but over here the Malbim says that if we're going to say over here that this earthquake that's going to split Har HaZeisim is to be taken literally, then this will parallels what it says in Sefer Yecheskel, that there's going to be some change in the earth that's going to cause the land to be redeveloped, the people to be relocated 45 mil away from where they used to be. Let's look. Zemisached. I'm reading over here the Malbim, page 847, pasuk dalet, couple of lines down. Zemisached. This will then be consistent in Masha Heru lo licheskel sheyushlaim shel asatiyin v'choyk mimakam hamikdash mem hey mil. Now, this is controversial. This is very complicated because How could you say that from the other? There are many other pesuk in the Ramashma that nothing is going to change when Mashiach will come and Yerushalayim will be built in the same place. Be'er nivi'enu, our prophets explain, Shezeyeh al yidei shehar hazesim, shehu mirushalayim, yetak mimikoymoi. Okay, this is really spooky stuff here. The entire mountain will be uprooted. Imkol sivi voisav, bo'orech uveroichav, chameshes alofim konim. Now, this is some type of ancient measuring unit. Sheheim tesvav mil. Shekin yeh goydel ir yushlam los lova kimivor sham. Vze yeh rochoik mechatzichu ir hatzafoni memhe mil. Whatever that means, it's going to be, I don't know what these numbers mean here, but v'olav tibone v'tikoinen Yerushalayim shal osted sheroi yecheskel v'ze yiskaimu divrei hanavim kulam beli stira. The Malm over here, besides what he's trying to say over here, he's trying to give us a principle in learning Nach. He's trying to give us over here a very important principle, which is an advanced concept. You have to first know the whole Tanakh inside out. You have to know all the Nevi'im inside out. After you know all of the Nevi'im, you know Yeshaya and Yecheskel and Yirmiyah and the Treyaser, and you have it under your fingertips, every pasuk, then you'll begin to appreciate how they're all describing the same thing. Their prophecies all are just different dimensions of exactly the same thing. And if you want to look at it very superficially, you'll say the reason why there are so many different prophets, each prophet is describing a different period of time. Yeshaya is discussing this period of time, and Yechezkel this period, and Yirmiyah this period, and like that, they have nothing in common. Each one is getting is giving us something totally unique that is patently false. They are all describing exactly the same thing, but they're describing it in their own words, from their own perspective, from their own appreciation based upon the people that they're speaking to, what they can gain from it. You know the classic var. You go into a shul. Where does a person sit in shul? Does he sit on the left or does he sit on the right? So one person says he sits on the left. This fellow in shul, I saw him on the left. And the other one says on the right. Well, so it's a contradiction. No, it's not. The person, the witness, where were you sitting? If you were sitting on the right, that's why you said that this fellow, the person was in the center. He was in the center of the shul. The reason why you said that he's on the left is because you were sitting on the right. And the reason why the other fellow said that he was on the right, because he was sitting on the left. So, Elu v'Elu divrei Elokim Chaim. When both of them, when this one says he was on the left, this one says on the right, the emes is they're both correct. The person was in the center, and each one has a different perspective. So that's not a contradiction. So here, this is a basic principle. It's a very basic principle. And the problem is that sometimes they're very, very hard to reconcile, the words of the Nevi'im. And here, the Malbim says, if we're going to take what it says here literally, there's going to be an earthquake. And it says, Umosh. Umosh means it's going to be moved. The massive mountains, when this earthquake occurs, will be moved. Where is it going to move to? Where is it going? So when we learn Rashi, Rashi told us where it's moving. Rashi is going to the side. Right to the side. When the Har HaZesim splits, it's going to seal, it's going to merge with the mountain on the left and merge with the mountain on the right. And in the process, it's going to seal up the old path, the old valley. That's what Rashi said. The Malbim has a different idea. When the mountain splits and the mountain now moves, it's going a very far distance, 45 mil. The mountain is being picked up. I think it's a pasuk. I think it's a pasuk in Yechezkel. It's explicit in Sefer Yechezkel. We once upon a time learned this. I don't remember. Time to review. In Yechezkel, we learned this. It's explicit there. This comes up. And the end of Sefer Yechezkel.
Well, that's not the pasuk. That's description.
There we have to go to the Pesukim. This we vaguely remember that there it says somewhere there, either explicitly or in the Mepharshim. I really don't remember, but I do remember this number 45, and this discussion that Yerushalayim will be upgraded. Even maps, we learned Yecheskel, we had maps in the back of the Arts with Yecheskel. There were some maps to show how the Pesukim are to be understood. But this is a very fascinating idea, because it's not what Rashi. None of the commentators don't like this. According, the only one that makes this connection is the Malbim. It says here, Umosh, the mountains are going to be moved. It doesn't mean they're going to be moved just a little bit to the left and the right. It means they're going to be uprooted entirely, and they're going to move, what do you say, 35 miles, three quarters of 45 is?
About 32, I think.
32, 32 and a half miles. It's going to be up 33 miles. It's going to be uprooted 33 miles. Wow. Do we have technology today that can do that? Not that I know of. Maybe that you can pick up a whole mountain and you can uproot. And we have technology today that can pick up a house. There's technology today that can probably take this building. If you really wanted to take this building and bring this building to Eretz Yisrael, there's technology to take the whole building the way it is, and pick it up and bring it to Yerushalayim. It will cost about $10 billion to do, and you have to shut down half the world and knock down some streets and bridges to do it, but it can be done. There is technology today available to pick up this entire building in one piece. In one piece. Pick up the whole building in one piece and bring it and put it right before the plaza in Yerushalayim, before the Waldorf in Yerushalayim. The young Israel of Midwood has arrived to Yerushalayim HaKodesh and has been deposited right in front of the Waldorf. And it can be done, okay? I don't think anyone wants to do it. I think it probably, I told you $10 billion, it probably cost like $1 trillion. But it can be done. The technology does exist. But do we have technology today that can pick up a mountain the size of Har HaZeisim and move it 45 mil? I don't think so. But look, think about it. Go back 100 years ago. If someone would tell you they could pick up this building and move it, they would laugh you out. They would laugh you out. Impossible to pick up a building and transport it to 6,000 miles. They would laugh at you. But today we know we can do it.
They did it.
Melech oimer oiker harm there, but it doesn't mean to pick up a whole mountain. It means. Okay, but you get the idea. Whatever this is, it says here that there's going to be some type of event. He's saying over here an incredible idea, the Malbim, that we're going to take this pasuk here in Sefer Zechariah, you're going to match it up with what it says in Sefer Yecheskel. Yerushalayim is going to be relocated. When we learned Sefer Yecheskel, what do we think that it meant? What we thought it meant was, people are just going to pack up their bags and take down the mezuzahs and say goodbye to their old house in Yerushalayim and move and get on the light rail with all of their luggage and travel down to the new settlement 33 miles away and move into a nice new house. Right? That's what it's... People are going to be relocated because Yerushalayim itself is going to be taken over by Shevet Levi. There's going to be some type of redesign of the area, the entire city that surrounds the Har HaBayis, and all of the residents, all of those nice hotels and real estate that surrounds Yerushalayim is going to have to just give it up and move on to a new place. But according to That's the pasuk pshat, and that's how I think the average person understood the pasuk in Yecheskel like that. But along comes the Malbim, and he says, not so fast. You're not going to have to move. You're not going to go nowhere. You don't have to worry. Hashem will move you. He'll move your whole house. Not only will he move your house, he'll move the street with the fire hydrants and the street sign. The whole thing will be picked up. Even the garbage in the street will come with you. The whole mountain will be picked up. The alternate side signs will also come with you. The whole street will be picked up and brought to 33 miles away. This is the advantage of connecting what it says in Sefer Yechezkel with what it says in Sefer Zechariah. And this is just a mashal for every other one of the Nevi'im. The goal, the ultimate goal, is to understand that each one is describing the same exact event, same exact thing, but from a different perspective, a different dimension. But they all complement one another. Let's go further. Now we come to Pasuk Hey, V'nastem Gei Harai. Now, remember this pasuk? This pasuk was a controversial pasuk. What is the meaning of the word vinastem? Does it mean to flee? Are we describing human beings? Human beings, they are the subject of this pasuk, and they're running for their lives. Who's running? The bad guys or the good guys? Okay? The robbers or the police? Who's running? Who's running over here? The bad guys, is it the captives? Klal Yisrael, who are captives, who are being tortured or are suffering, they're running, they're breaking loose, they're breaking free. Or is this the enemy? Goigu magoig, they're running for their lives. So the Pashtus is, we're discussing over here, the good people. We're discussing over here with maybe everyone. Everyone is running. And where are they going to run? So we learned yesterday, two Perushim, either they're running to, they're going to run to a place called Gei Harai. It doesn't mean Mamish's place. It means they're going to run somewhere where there are valleys in the mountain, which would provide them with safe haven from this massive earthquake, similar to Tora Bora in Afghanistan, a place where you can hide. Even the United States, with all of its military power, could not clean out the Taliban from Tora Bora because it was a safe haven. It was Gei Harai. It was an impossible terrain to maneuver. The Soviets, how many years did they try to clean out over there? No one was ever able to clean out the people in Tora Bora in Afghanistan. And that's really what it is over here. V'nastem Gei Harai, to valleys in mountains. Okay, like caves and valleys where you can hide. There's a sense of security in these locations. That's what it said in the Radak. According to Rashi, it's not what it means. It means they're going to run via a valley. Derech. Okay, the Rashi added a word. The Mitzudas added a word. They're going to run Derech Gei Harai. Okay, we're not telling you their destination. The destination is going to be El Otsal. Okay, according to the Mitzvah, this is the name of the place, El Otsal. Okay, that was one. So that's one mahalach. Are we describing human beings that are running? Or then we had two mahalachim, assuming that the word vinastem should really be read as if it says vinistem, not a patach, vinistem. And we learned yesterday the Mincha Shai, who has that elaborate discussion. What is the correct girsa? Is it vinastem or vinistem? If it's vinistem, it means to be sealed. What is being sealed? So Rashi says that after this, the split occurs, then the mountain, the Har HaZesim, is going to be sealed. The two ends are going to seal with the two adjacent mountains on the north or on the west. Or we have this fascinating perish from the Radak. It means after it splits, it's going to come back together. It's going to split open, and then after it splits open, it's going to close up. Similar to Korach, next week's parsha, not this week. Next week, what happened to Korach? The earth opened up, swallowed him up. And then the earth was sealed. It closed like nothing ever happened. So that's the same thing. So there's a very big nafkin between Rashi and Radak is what's the end result? At the end, is there a big crater in the middle? Or is the end is like nothing ever happened? Nothing ever happened. It was a big crack in the earth, a massive crater. But then after the crater opened up, then the crater was Vinistan. It closed up. like nothing ever happened. So this is what we learned yesterday. Now let's see the Malbim. Malbim says, "V'nastem geirah yesh luschois." He right away goes. He brings up this controversy, this dilemma, this controversy. What is the correct girsa? Yesh luschois. We're not used to this in Tanakh. We're not used to hearing such things. The Tanakh is, no different girsas in Tanakh. It's not a piece of Gemara. You know, in Chumash, it would never happen like something like this. Even though we do have a few little, we have Daka, Betsua Daka. There are a couple of little things, but most of those things are not very extra vavs. They're not significant. But over here, this is a very significant thing. V'nastem yesh nuschoy shekos abram v'nistam. Not v'nastem. Two differences. It's v'nistam. Okay, we pronounce it today v'nistam. V'nistam. We don't pronounce anything correctly today. This is the same exact thing as tzitzis. How do you say tzitzis? Mark, how do you say, you said today in Kriya Shema, you said tzitzis. What did you say? Did you say tzitzis or did you say tzitzis or tzitzis?
I say tzitzis.
Tzitzis. So you're like the Americans. You're like me.
Exactly.
You're the American. You're an American like me. We don't make a difference between a chirik mole, a chirik regular, a chirik choser, a chirik mole. It's all the same. It's a shva. No difference. Like me. You're an American boy. Okay, but it's not so simple. Some will tell you that it should be tzitzis, and some will say tzitzis. I can't even pronounce it. Okay, there's a chirik mole and a chirik choser, and there's a shva. A shva is two dots. A chirik mole means there's one dot followed by a yud, and then there's one dot that's not followed by a yud. So tzitzis, the first tzadi, has a yud. It's one dot, and it's followed by a yud. The second tzadi does not have a yud. So the way those who differentiate between a chirik mole and a chirik choser, and those two are not the same as two dots, a shva, will say tzi, tzis. Okay? And those who don't differentiate, they would say tzi, tzis. And those who hold there's no difference between a shva and a shva and a chirik will say tzi, tzis. Tzitzis. Tzitzis. Go into a Judaica store and just stand around for 10 minutes and someone will come and ask, could I have a pair of tzitzis? You know how he says the Kriya Shema. And a real American boy. Very good. So over here, it's, if you be like an American, he'll say v'nistan. V'nistan. We'll say like a shva. It doesn't matter. Yesh nuschoy shekos abchem v'nistan. Uritzon lama ki agay shebo emsa hohor sheyiposach ara tohoim. The guy, the valley, the middle of the mountain that will open up until the Tohoim, Shemishom Yetzi Harash, Hagodl Hazer, Hamafore Kodim, Yiso same Tekef, will instantly close up. Like Korach. It's going to open up for a moment, and then it's going to close. Now, here's what's very interesting. What's going to happen in the middle? Bishloim by Korach. The reason why it opened is to swallow
the
up
enemy
to swallow up the enemy. It doesn't say that anywhere here. No. It doesn't say openly in the past that the enemy is going to be swallowed up and then it's going to close. It doesn't say that. So what's the purpose of the earth opening up?
Because if it's for the purpose of the people in Yerushalayim to escape.
Right, so then they have a purpose. They're going, that's what the Mitzvah Stavit said. It opened up to create a valley and they traveled in this crater, this valley, to their destination. So what's going on over here? Yisosei matekev v'yesham biko v'vayn ula nusach shekosa v'nastem, our nusach, as we learned yesif from the Mincha Shai, that even though there's evidence otherwise, ein lanu v'onu ein lanu lozuz mimisoresh shemoshu lanu avoseinu. We follow tradition. If this is what it says in the book, then don't be so quick to make changes. Ritzon Eloimar, Shekulam Yenus, who is going to the parish of the Mitzvah Stavid and the Radak, the first shot, it means the subject, it means to flee. And the subject of the pasuk is human beings. They're going to run for their life. El hagai shebein shnei ha'odim sheyispordu ata kimokim shegvar nifticha ha'aretz ein oitz sakana sarash. The place where it opened up, there's no longer sakana. Kimoy b'mokim sheloi nifticha ha'aretz. Like in the place where the earth did not yet open up a dying. Ulechen yenusu kulam el hagai shebein ha'odim. Strange what he says. It's the safest place. The place that opened up, it's already done. The place that the earth opened up, that's a safe place. The other land, the top of the mountain, on the sides, who knows? That part may crack in a few moments. Whatever this means, it's the safest place to go. That's where all they're going to go to flee. Now, what are these? So we learned yesterday, didn't pay Rishon. See how he translates this, and it will reach the Gei Hodim El Otzal. Shahagai Yimoshech, the valley, the crater that is formed will extend Badorim on the south. Now here he adds a word over here, Badorim. That's not what we learned above. We learned this yesterday when we said the guy is going to extend. So I told you it means that this crater is going to extend to the east. Right, to the east. All the way down to a place called Otzal. Where's Otzal? Who knows? Wherever Otzal is. He adds in some things that are not what we learned yesterday. Shagai Yimoshech Badoroim. It's going to make a turn. The valley, it's going to make a turn. GPS is going to guide the splitting.
Southeast?
Yeah, I guess that obviously it's the east,
because
so it means the southeast.
Otherwise, at that distance, it would be well past the Yarden, right?
If we're now going towards the east, right? So you're coming to the Yarden pretty soon.
So maybe he's thinking,
how many miles are there?
Southeast in a diagonal way.
There's probably, how many miles are there from Har Habayis to the Yarden? 20 miles? 15 miles? 10 miles?
From where?
From the Har Habayis to the Yarden, to the Jordan River.
20 miles?
Yeah.
Not more than 7 or 8 miles?
That's it? 7 or 8 miles?
You're talking straight,
yeah,
right?
Straight. Go straight. Not even 7 or 8 miles. Okay, you go on Google Maps. So it's, okay, right. The whole Eretz Yisrael from end to end is the most is 50 miles, maybe even less.
It is a scale here on page 913.
Okay, so he's coming over there. Let's see. So he's saying over here, he's just saying it has to be that it's going to turn. As this crater, this valley goes from the Har Habayis east, it's going to make a turn. Why? Ad Yimoshech Badorayim Ad Mokom Sheshmoy Otzal. He learns the word Otzal is the name of a place, a city, a region. Shehu Rochoik, and this is why it has to turn. It has to, because it has to go, it has to still be in there. I guess it has to still be in Eretz Yisrael. If Eretz Yisrael is only, we're going to a distance of 45 mil, it's going back to what it says in Yecheskel, 45 mil, which is about 33 miles. Shehu Rochoik Memhe Mil Mirushalayim, so it's going down south to Eilat. It's hot down there.
It wouldn't be that far.
Okay, but it's right. It's going down.
Let's say on a diagonal southeast, then you could do that.
You're going, so the new Yerushalayim is going to be located in the south. It's going to, and the path over here, the path to get there, so you're saying an Otzal is going to be somewhere in the destination of the new city. And the path is going to start off going east,
this
but it's going to.
50 miles.
50 miles? 50 miles is the width of the whole Eretz Yisrael. The whole Eretz Yisrael from the Mediterranean until the Yarden, to the West Bank, is about 50 miles. So if you go 50 miles down in a car, you can, 1 hour, can you imagine, you can go from end to end along the width of Eretz Yisrael in 1 hour, theoretically, no traffic, straight. Impossible, right? Impossible. But theoretically, 1 hour across the land. What about how, what is the distance going up from south to north? What does it say there? What's how many miles?
Rabbi, from Eilat to Rosh Hanikra is 300 miles by car.
300 miles by car from Eilat to
the Rosh Hanikra.
That's right, the border of Lebanon?
Yes.
300 miles. Okay, that's a lot.
And from Jerusalem to Eilat is 193 miles.
That's halfway. It's like almost like a little bit less than halfway.
33 miles to the Mediterranean.
And from Tiberias to Tel Aviv is 87 kilometers. I didn't put in miles, which would be like 60 miles.
From where?
From Tel Aviv to Tiberias.
To Tiberias. That's to the
to the angle.
Okay. All right. Very interesting. So here he's saying over here that this valley is going to go east and then it's going to turn south. Shehu rochog mem he mil mi'ushalayim shalata. V'ad sham yismaytei tahor. It will turn v'yaneshech hagai. Now, what does it mean, yismotet? The mountain will crumble. I think it means to crumble.
No.
Totter?
Yes.
It will move. It's going to move. The mountain will move. It will totter. It will be moved on some very big, very big flatbed truck. V'yaneshech hagai. He's adding over here all these chidushim I never heard before, and that is Otzal is the name of the new Yerushalayim. Otzal, or what is the location where the new Yerushalayim will be built in the south, 45 mil away from the Har Habayis. The Nastem. Now this is something which has to be understood. What is this doing over here? We already discussed this a little bit. I think we're beginning to see a parallel over here with Korach. Okay, we're beginning to see over here, uncover over here some secrets. Because over here, the splitting of the earth only happened in the mice of Korach. What was Korach's problem? Madua tisnasu al kahal Hashem. Why is Aaron the Kohen Gadol? I want to be the Kohen Gadol. Let's have a rotation. Let's have a new administration with a rotation. We'll have a new coalition. Why is only Aaron the Kohen Gadol? So that's exactly what happened in the day of Uzziah. Uzziah was the melech. He has no business with the kahuna. And he decided, I also want to be a kohen. It's not enough. It's not enough for me only to be the melech. I also want to be the kohen. He went into the heichal and it was maktir the ketores. He challenged the legitimacy, the authority of kahuna. And what happened? There was an earthquake. Who was the first one to do this? Korach. Korach challenged the legitimacy of the kahuna. And what happened? What happened to Korach? The earth opened up and swallowed him up. So in the days of Uzziah, same thing happened. There was a challenge to the kahuna, and the earth opened up, and everyone went running. Everyone was a partner in the crime. It was tolerance. That's always the consistent theme in Nach, is tolerance. The Egel, only 3,000 people actually bow down to the Egel. Why then do we suffer from the Egel Ad Hayom Hazeh? Because 3 million people were tolerant. No, they want to do it. Let them do it. Who cares? They were tolerant of the Egel. Okay, it's not for nothing that this country has a reputation as being 100% same gender. I mean, you would think the whole country is, you know, all of these crazy. How many people engage in these things? I think less than 3%. How could it be in this country that you have people that are less than 3% control the media, control the mindset? Everyone today is so super sensitive. All these new things and everything, pronouns, everything
that's loud and screaming,
crazy, yeah. Binary numbers, pronouns. All these, who ever heard of these crazy things before? I don't even know what I'm reading anymore in the news. What is that? What's a pronoun? What do they have to put pronouns on your profile? What is that? Binary, not by even little children. They tell us a little, what's going on in this crowd? How many people really care about these things? 3%. 3%. 3% control? The whole country?
Hope, right?
Control the country?
So the Jews still have...
Acharei rabim lahatois. Let the 3% be quiet. A free country, do whatever you want. Be quiet. 97% is controlled by 3%? Unbelievable. It doesn't make any sense. Well, guess what? It didn't make any sense by the Egel either. Because it was even less than 3%. What is Mr. Millis, a mathematician, Baruch Hashem, a mathematician, what is 3,000 from 3 million?
1 3,000.
1 in 3,000. 1 in 3,000 people.
1 in 1,000.
3,000 people worship the Egel. There were 3 million.
Yes, 3 zeros. It's 1,000. 1 in 1,000.
So what? 1 in 1,000.
Yeah.
There were 3 million Jews.
And
3,000.
So you're left with 3 zeros when you divide, which is 1,000.
1 in 1,000. 1 in 1,000 people worship the Egel. And yet we all suffer. How could that be? Tolerance. Tolerance. It's okay. It's okay. So the reason why they didn't want to get involved. So it's not the reason why today in America there's a reputation. America is 100% part of this thing is because we're tolerant. If we're tolerant, so then we're part of it. This is a very common idea all over the place. So here the whole Yerushalayim fled for their lives. Why? They were tolerant that the Melech can usurp the power of Kahuna, the authority of Kahuna. And therefore, just like Korach, the earth opened up and swallowed him up, the earth opened up to swallow the whole Yerushalayim, all the inhabitants of Yerushalayim. It's the same thing. Now, if the Pasuk tells us that over there, and now we're talking about what's happening at the time of the coming of Mashiach, we have now been informed of a classified file, CIA file over here, of what's going on in the times of Mashiach. It would appear from this thought, this approach, is that the problem over here in time of Mashiach is a challenge to the kahuna of Hashem. Now we talk about kahuna, look at this on the big scale. The Atem Tihiyun Li Mamleches Koyhanim V'Goy Kodesh. Aaron was the authority relative to Korach and the other members of Sheva Levi. In the time of Uzziah, we're talking about the institution of Kahuna in Klal Yisrael relative to the institution of Malchus. In the bigger picture of the world, the whole nation of Klal Yisrael are the Kohanim. The whole nation of Klal Yisrael represent the spiritual representatives. They are Hashem's ambassador to this world. They are the teachers of Hashem's ways. It's a pasuk in the Torah. The Atem Tihiyun Li Mamleches Kohanim, a kingdom of Kohanim. The world, Goyg u'Magoyg, v'chol hanilvim olav, and all of the nations of the world are challenging our authority of Kahuna to this world. So what happens to people who challenge Kahuna? It happened already twice. It happened to Korach. It happened to Uzziah. When you challenge Hashem's authority, the Kahuna, the earth opens up and swallows you up. So here the earth is opening up, it would appear, and who is surrounding Yerushalayim? Well, we learned in the previous Pesukim, there's a massive siege going on. Massive siege. The primary, according to this, we were saying Jerusalem, now we're trying to understand what's going on. This event of the earth opening up and then closing appears to be swallowing up the challengers to our authority of being the Mamleches Kohanim. Just like Aaron, when Korach challenged Aaron HaKohen, and when Uzziah challenged the office of Kahuna, the earth opened up and swallowed up the enemies. That's exactly what's happening over here, La'asa Lavel. Our enemies, but now we have an appreciation. What are they challenging? What do they want from us? Why are they going to watch these clips on online, these clips, send them on WhatsApp, these clips? Why do they hate us so much? What do we do to them? What do these people care? What's it to them? Where does the hate come from? It's just some stupidity? Is there something real? What is it in them that doesn't let them live? What is it? I don't know. Obviously, it's super duper complex. Some people just shaitim shiva olam, they're fools. Some people are more sophisticated. Maybe there is, there has to be this element that they see their conscience, their subconscious sees that the Jew is Hashem's Kohen, is a Kohen. He represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence in this world, that makes a demand that you behave. You be morally upright. You have to desist from evil, which these people cannot do. And the only way to remove this remove the pain of recognizing they're living a life of sin is to get rid of us. It has to be something like that. I don't, but that's a little bit too sophisticated for most people. So what really is it? But this is what he's saying. He's saying over a whole new idea. One more time, over the words of the bottom of the page was okay. V'dasim asher v'dasim b'nei harashim b'nei uzia yishosho yaharashim b'nei hashikin hashem l'chomayim v'lachodikim kuhunosho yishalarayim. Unbelievable. The Malbim is unbelievable. He always says the most novel ideas. Hashem is going to go and Yikane will exact revenge. He will avenge his kahuna. The honor of the law of the Jewish people. Your holiness. Okay, we had the whole discussion yesterday, Imach, the best pshat, the one that was really great was the Malbim. He says Imach means the prophets. And the Srafim, the Malachim called the Srafim, they were standing, we're turning the page of Mimaloi, on page now 4, 848, and there he saw the Srafim, because there was an internal problem. There Uziah was challenging the office of the Kohuna, to guard you, Ula Zorcha to help you, loyli histalek al kisay bashamayim, not to remove himself from his kisay bashamayim, ula nishcha kimiken, to punish you. Okay, he's saying over here it's imach. So I think what he's trying to do over here is, in his own way, he's coming to address the unusual word usage. We discussed this yesterday. Why does it say the word imach? Kol kidoshim imach. Just say kol kidoshim imo. Obviously, the Malbim prefers to understand the word Kidoy Hashem to mean the Malachi Hashoris, like everyone did. Rashi, the Mitzudos Radak, everyone wanted to say it means the Malachi Hashoris. The only novel pshat is one pshat, it means the prophets. But if it means the Malachi Hashoris, the word Imach is not the right word. The word Imach, it should say Imo. So, what does it mean, Imach? Hashem is imach. You want to say it means with him, with Hashem, but it doesn't really fit. You want to say imach means on your behalf. It's just not the right word. So the Malbim over here is telling you, yes, it is the right word. Why is it right? Because this pasuk is not to be viewed in a vacuum. If you read this pasuk in a vacuum, you're in trouble. Then the word imach doesn't really fit. It's not the correct word. But when you take this pasuk and you're viewing it as a parallel to the parallel to what it said a moment before, this is amazing. Really, what he's saying over here is really amazing. What it said, but it says Uziah, the previous pasuk in Uziah, "Bimei Uziah Melech Yehuda, Bo Hashem Elokai Kol Kidoshim." There, Hashem had all of the malachim on his side to destroy us. There the Malachim were with Hashem because Hashem was angry. He was angry at Uzziah. He was angry at Klal Yisrael for tolerating this cry. Hashem was angry, so Hashem came with his Malachim with him to punish us. But here Hashem is not coming to punish us. Just the opposite. Hashem is coming to protect us, to save us. He's coming to punish the enemy, Gog Magog. So that's why it says Imach. The reason why it says Imach is because it says here, Bimei Uzziah Melech Yehuda. If we just take the word Hashem Elokai, Vo Hashem Elokai, Kol Kedoshim, Kol Kedoshim Imach, we take that sentence in a vacuum. It has nothing to do with the previous part of the Pasuk. Then the word Imach does not fit. It just say Imo. But because the beginning of the Pasuk says, there was a Maisa like this, Bimei Uzziah Melech Yehuda, and there Hashem Taka came, Ubo Hashem Elokai, Kol Kedoshim Imo, to punish us. Now that's not what's happening now. Now Hashem is coming to protect us. So the word indeed fits like a glove. It fits like a glove because this word is being, this expression is only being said together, reminding us of Uzziah, and now it's different. The earthquake was like Uzziah, but the anger, the direction of where Hashem is venting his anger is different. By Uzziah, Hashem was angry at us, so he came with his malachim to punish us. But now Hashem is venting his anger at the enemy of Klal Yisrael. So Hashem is sending his malachim imach for you to protect you. There's a reason why the word imach was changed. Okay, let's finish up. By the way, we didn't even do the radak. I made a mistake. We didn't even do the radak on this. We did a pasuk as well, pasuk vav. And in fact, we're out of time now. So we're gonna tomorrow. I forgot. We really didn't finish the radak. We didn't do the darkness in the radak. We did the darkness, the arki point in yukarois. Or did we? No. Did we? Did not. I'm a little confused now. Did we do this yesterday?
We did.
In the radak.
We
We did Rashi, and we did Rashi, and it's very hard that pasuk. The Yukaros Vekipo. Oh, we did Rashi, and I don't think we did Radak. So we have Malm. So Bishop, tomorrow we'll pick up with this. We'll go through the Malbim and the Radak on the deeper meaning of the Yukaros Vekipo. All right, let's take a short break, and after I want to talk about the mitzvah of tzitzit. If you're Sephardi, you say that the stuff becomes a tough. So it's tzitzit. Okay. Okay. After the break, we'll be back in a minute. May, what did you say?
Hadassah made it.
I turned off the microphone. It's off. It's unmuted.
Hadassah made it.
What?
She made it for your sandwich.
She made for me a sandwich? I don't want her to make for me a sandwich.
We're not gonna.
I'll eat it, but I'm not a charity case here.
I would bring for everybody, but she doesn't.
I don't want to. I it's very kind of her. I'm not here to. I don't want to be a triacher. Tell her thank you very much. All right.
Put it up here, please.
So Thomas and politics work. How's it in Arizona?
They're more than half.
How are you doing about that?
Prediction. Tell me the future.
No, because they're fighting it in Arizona. They're fighting it in New Hampshire, in Michigan, in Georgia.
So what's the end game?
Pennsylvania people went over to Arizona to get an idea how to do it. From the people in Arizona.
In the best scenario, what will come of this?
They'll change the rules.
Oh, they'll change the rules for the next election.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to change?
What do you mean? They want to limit absentee ballots, drop boxes, you know,
yes.
And they want IDs.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. However,
there isn't anything wrong with that.
The question is, what happens if people don't have IDs?
People
can't vote.
People have them.
What's the problem with showing ID?
They think that black people are so...
I've never been so incapable. I have never,
normally.
Since I've been voting, since I'm 1821, I've never been asked for an ID at the poll. Have you?
This time, yes.
I was never asked for an
this
ID.
This time, yes.
I was never asked. I'm sorry, I was never asked.
You're saying it, but they make a sign.
This is a signature match, maybe.
But we have a primary.
But the people there are not experts, so they just, you sign it, they don't bother.
They look a little bit.
We have a primary coming. Early voting starts on the 12th, and the actual day is the 22nd. And I'm preparing a...
So who do you vote for, guys? The mayor. No.
I'm going to vote for, I suppose, Yang.
Not
and Adams for two.
I'm
preparing a guide for the voters of this area.
What do you say? So let's say what you're saying.
No, you'll find out at the appropriate time.
I read Charles Adams, judge.
Adams appears to be better. They're both not good, but Adams appears to be much better.
Who?
Adams.
Only the way I do it is slightly different, but...
Adams is
but,
good.
But
no question about
remember
it.
From
he's a law and order person. You need law and order.
From the perspective of a die rope.
A total whip.
Who?
Yang. Your whole total is ignorance.
This is die rope season.
Thoroughly ignorant of everything that's going on in the world.
You know what
a rhino
is? Yeah. I'm a die rope.
Oh, a wishy-washy.
Registration only.
Adams is a cop. 30 years.
I became Republican. I said,
wrong.
Tough guy.
I said, wrong.
No,
you voted to
wrong.
The Democratic primary, and then you decide to vote
what?
Republican.
Voting
for
Dolly Mamella.
Because you have control.
I voted for Mickey Mouse.
And
I once voted for Mickey Mouse.
From
who?
To
Mickey Mouse.